481. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not what was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I'd learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king. Now my rapture soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen.
Let's remain standing for prayer. Brother Lancaster, would you lead us, please, as we pray?
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to our services today. We're glad to have you. Now remember this, yesterday, we had a memorial service here for Georgia Clark. And all of her family, most all of them were here, had a good group, fine people, and a good send-off for Georgia. This coming Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a memorial service for Brother Leonard Seacat. And so remember that. Leonard's been up there even before Georgia was. Just think about that there. All right, fine. Thank you for that announcement. All right. But we will have Leonard's service here at 1 o'clock this coming Saturday. Remember that. What else? Services tonight. What time? 6 o'clock. Some of you knew it. 6 o'clock. What am I going to be preaching about? Creation and the cross. We are going to compare Genesis chapter 1, the creation week, with the last week of Christ's ministry here on the earth, up to his resurrection. So his final week, and you'll enjoy it. It's a wonderful study, and you're welcome to come out and be with us in our services. Brother Pat? Miles is in the hospital in Phoenix. He was able to go home one day after his chemo treatments, but he developed a fever and had to go back to the hospital. And he's still there at the present time. Keep him in your prayers. And I had another announcement or two. I've forgotten now what they were. I didn't write them down. Do you remember what they were, Sam? You don't remember anything either. So I thought I'd give you a chance.
Wednesday night.
All right. Wednesday night, Bible study, 6 o'clock, on the life of David. Come out and be with us in that service. Again, it's good to see you. Let's join in here. Well, before we have another song, we're going to have a Bible reading. Who's reading today? Bob?
Sorry.
I didn't know he could read. Come on up.
Can I make a prayer request?
Do it.
Okay.
Please.
Regarding my mother-in-law, she had a very serious fall on Friday and hit her head. She was at the store shopping with Betsy. So she was taken to the hospital. They did all the tests and all that. Fortunately, nothing was broken, but she's at home now. Betsy's staying with her, Betsy and Rachel. So hopefully she's going to get better. She's 93 years old, so she's, and this is, she had a fall like 6 or 8 weeks ago also. So we're trying to get her to slow down a little bit. You know what I mean? So anyway, appreciate your prayers for her. So, okay. Bible reading this morning is from Psalms, the very first chapter, if you want to turn there. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
I guess we're supposed to have the men's chorus.
Yeah. When do you want to have that? Right
it's
now?
I guess.
Are we ready to sing that?
Is that what the plan is?
I don't know how no plan.
Yeah, I think that's what's in the bulletin.
The men's chorus.
Men's chorus.
Practice.
Is that? We have not practiced. This
well,
is.
What are we singing?
We're singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
617.
617.
Music sheets.
What? All together in one side. But the microphone's up here.
Jackie has music. But no, you don't need to do music. Jackie has music.
recorded. So, so Wayne, yeah. Come on, stand up here, kind of right. Roger.
You don't need him, those gentlemen. Stand up. Jackie has music for us. I'm kind of standing in the middle.
Close to
the microphone. All of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See, that records it.
How many versions of it?
All of them. It's short. It's fast.
Mark, are you singing bass?
It depends on how it comes out.
Did he practice, Sue? He didn't.
You kind of squeeze in together, gentlemen. You want to squeeze? He wants it to be near the mic because it's being recorded.
We got
to
record it.
Everybody come down towards the mic.
You don't want to hear muffled.
Go down towards this mic.
Yeah.
One mic to
come this way.
Come on.
Yeah. Where's Mike?
Down confused. All
right. Just as long as you get together.
Two rows.
Yeah.
And pretend you like each other.
Yeah, you want to make two rows, maybe?
Yeah. Now, don't lead this. Don't play favorites and lead this side more than you do this one.
Scoot over this way.
I don't know what happened there, everybody.
Dave and Mark, squeeze down a little bit.
Faithful lightning of his arrow, swift sword, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is of a hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His tree is marching on. That shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his being that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Amen. Let's see where. Turn over to number 416, 416. Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Amen. Turn over to number 482, and would you all rise, and we'll have our offering after this verse.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins.
Amen.
Brother Roger, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning, sir?
Good morning, everyone. You know, I was talking to Sister Rachel Burton this morning, and I was telling her about how, you know, how that the missionaries are on the front lines of the battle. While we here, we are kicked back in our comfort at times. You know, but those who love the Lord, waiting for His coming, I said to you this morning, pull up your bootstraps, strengthen your shoulders, and look heavenward, because your redemption draw it nigh, please.
Troubles and times are here, filling men's heart with fear. beating me, oh, oh dear. Now is that stay. Humbling your heart to God, safe out the chastening rod. Going well, pilgrim trot, pressing the way. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. It will be very soon, trumpet will sound. Then all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Now listen, the trouble will soon be o'er, then happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, and free from all hell, then rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we will fly with glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. All night it will be very soon, trumpet will sound. Then all of them dead shall rise, now right to me in the sky. Going where no one died, heavenward bound. My Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. All night it will be very soon, trumpet will sound. Then all of them dead shall rise, for the righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one died, heavenward bound. So hold on to the blessed hope of your Lord Jesus Christ, and one of these days we're gonna be heavenward bound. Praise God! One of these days, Pastor. Wee! I can't wait. Glory! Hallelujah!
All right. Open your Bible, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 has to do with cleanliness more than anything else. And that's what we need. We're to lead clean lives. And when we get to heaven, we want to be clean, clean. That's what this psalm is about and how we get there. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, that shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, these right off the bat might not seem pertinent to our message about heaven's garments, but I think you'll get the point as we proceed with our message. There used to be an old saying, some of you here are old enough to have heard it, that clothes make the man. Clothes make the man. I suppose some clothing manufacturer invented that saying, I don't know. Sounds apropos. But it used to make a difference how people dressed. You could identify just about it, the occupation of an individual by looking at the clothing he wore. If you saw a person in an army uniform, you jumped to the conclusion that he is a soldier. You see some guy out here in a Navy uniform, you say, hey, he's a sailor. If you see a man wearing a police uniform, you know he's a cop. A man dressed in a suit, white shirt and tie, must be a lawyer or a businessman or something like that. You see a man wearing overalls, you know he's a farmer. But originally, mankind was made without any clothing of any kind. Think about it, but don't think about it too deeply. Human beings are still being born that way, whether they're male or female. They're born without clothes. They don't even have a diaper on. It's said of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and they were both naked. The man and his wife, W-I-F-E, wife, male and female created he them. Eve was his wife. And they were naked and not ashamed. They were in a state of innocency. They were grown and mature, but they were as innocent as newborn babies. Well, we're going to invent some clothes for them. What was the first garment that was ever made? And what material was it made out of? Fig leaves. What did they make out of the fig leaves? They made aprons out of fig leaves. Genesis 3:7. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right, that's what they start out with, aprons made out of fig leaves. Now, what's the next garment? God came along, and I don't think he liked the fig leaves too well. So God went out here and killed an animal. The first blood that was ever shed on the face of this earth was the blood of that animal that God himself killed and skinned to make clothing for Adam and Eve. He made it out of skins. What did he make? Aprons? No. He made coats. Let me read it to you. Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And clothing has just evolved since that time. Started off with your fig leaf aprons and went to coats made out of skins. Boy, that, who is it that's always after that? PETA or something like that? I don't remember now. But they don't like you. They don't like women to have mink coats. Probably because they can't afford them themselves. They're just jealous. God made Adam and Eve mink coats. He had a lot of minks. Think about it. Clothing is not even mentioned again for, oh goodness, thousands of years. Not until the time when Adam got tired of Isaac hanging around the house. He's 40 years old, didn't even have a girlfriend. He said, it's time to get married. Isaac wasn't interested enough in girls to go out and look for one himself. So Abraham called his servant in. He said, go find a wife for my son. And he put some clothing in a bag and threw it across a camel and went over there to where Rebekah lived. And he unpacked this and he said, hey, look at this beautiful dress. They're called garments in the Bible. But that's the next time after Adam and Eve were clothed with skins that clothing is mentioned. And that's when Isaac's bride got clothed with clothing that her bridegroom furnished her. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay? By the way, back then, men and women dressed differently. You could tell a man was a man because of the clothing he had on. You could tell that a woman was a woman because of the clothing that she had on. And God didn't like cross-dressers. He sure didn't. In fact, he put it in his word. It's still in there, whether we like it or not. What I want to talk about today is this. There's been a lot of speculation about the kind of clothing we're going to wear when we get to heaven. I don't know if you've ever given it much thought or not. But we're going to wear clothes in heaven. Now, when a person dies, it's been my experience anyway at funerals I've been at, that the person that's the corpse in the coffin is dressed in a suit if it's a man, or a nice dress if it's a woman. But they don't wear those to heaven. Not that I know of. That coffin lid is closed and screwed down and buried 6 feet in the ground. And those clothes that person's body was clothed in are still on them. I remember going down to, this is getting close to Halloween. I can talk about this, I guess. Because down in Mexico, down there, Halloween means hallowed evening. And that's when the spirits of the dead come up out of the graves and go home and spend the night and then go back to the graves the next morning. You didn't know that? Yeah, I was down in Monterey, Mexico, down there with Ralph McCoy, and we were talking about clothing. And down there, you don't buy a burial plot out here to bury somebody in. You rent it. The church owns it. You pay rent every month. You got to pay rent on that. It comes due just like your water bill and gas bill and all the rest of your bills. You got to pay it. Now, this poor Mexican fellow down there, he gets lonesome and he gets married again. His first wife's body is deteriorating out here in the grave in the cemetery. After a while, he kind of gets over her passing. He's got a new wife that he's got to support. And he gets tired of paying rent on his wife's grave out in the cemetery, his first wife's grave out in the cemetery. So he skips a payment. The priest goes down his list here and he says, oh, Pedro didn't make his payment. He calls a couple of workmen out here. Go out there and dig up his wife and throw her bones over the fence. I've been there. I started to bring some skulls back with me, but I said, no, I'll let the dead, you know, very morbid. But anyway, I saw lots of empty graves. And I saw piles of bones 6 feet high outside the fence out there. But I saw, watch these two workmen as they were digging up this one woman's grave. And when she was buried, I don't know how long she'd been dead. She wasn't nothing but bones. But she had nylon stockings on her bony legs. The nylon hadn't even rotted yet on her body. And her husband quit paying rent on her grave, and so they took her out of the grave and threw her bones over the fence and rented that grave space to somebody else. But what I'm saying is, you don't, when you bury somebody in their best suit, tie, and everything else, it stays down here on this earth. It doesn't go to heaven with them. And when they get to heaven, well, how do you clothe a soul and a spirit? I haven't the slightest idea. That's the rest of my sermon. What type of clothing will we wear in heaven when we appear in the presence of God and the angels and before all the saints in heaven? You know what Paul said about it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. And this is about as close as you can get to anything. He said, for in this we groan. He's talking about this body that we have now. If you don't believe it, you ask Brother Lancaster. Ask his wife, she'll tell you. First thing he did when he started to get out of bed this morning is groan. I know where you're coming from, Brother Bud. Yeah, oh, another day. Here we go. In this body we groan because it's got pains. It hurts. It's got rheumatism. It's got arthritis. It's got a lot of other things wrong with it. And in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now the house that he's talking about is not a wooden stucco house. He's talking about this body. Don't misunderstand or you'll get all mixed up like the Pharisees did when Jesus told them one day, he's looking at the temple, he said, destroy this temple and I'll build it in 3 days. And they held that against him all the way till his resurrection. They thought he was talking about the temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. And when he talks about your house, he's not talking about where you live. He's talking about your earthly body you're living in now. And he said, when this body goes back to the dust from whence it came, don't worry about it, because you've got a house from heaven, a body from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, heaven up there, as beautiful a place as it is, you're not going to have naked people running around all over the place. All right? We're going to have some clothing on them. He went on to say, we that are in this tabernacle are burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We're talking about clothing that you can't even see, you can't even imagine. My first thought would be that we shall wear a beautiful, spotless robe of imputed righteousness. Imputed means it comes from some other source other than ourselves. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. We don't want to be there in ours. Why, if we went into the presence of God with our righteousness on, it would be as filthy rags in the sight of God. And none of us want to be dressed in filthy rags before the presence of the Lord. Throughout the ages, humanity has had glimpses of heavenly creatures, mostly angels, sometimes saints. Now, in many instances, God tells us what they're wearing. Did you know that? You ever notice that? And we assume from the way they were dressed that that's the way we will appear also in heaven. Now, I'm not familiar with any reference to the appearance of Jesus' clothing after his resurrection. Are you? I mean, he came out of the grave on the morning of the third day, but when the disciples went inside and looked, they saw the clothing that he was buried in lying there, still in the grave. So wherever Jesus is, he ain't got no clothes on. That's the first thought that comes to your mind, because he left his clothing in the grave. Even the napkin that was over his face was neatly folded and laid in the place by itself over here. But nowhere in there, from that time until the time that he ascended to heaven, are we told what kind of garments he had on. What's he wearing? We're not told how he was dressed. All during those 40 days, we're not told. We're not told. Now, let's take note of some of these heavenly beings that have visibly visited the earth and have been seen of men. Let's see how they were clothed. And then we're going to assume that we're going to be clothed like that when we get to heaven. Let's start with Mark chapter 9. In verse 3 of Mark 9, we have Jesus on a mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. He's got Peter, James, and John up there with him. and was his habit, he often went to the mountaintop to pray. And he's praying up there on top of this mountain. And as he prayed, the Bible says the fashion of his countenance was changed. His appearance changed, was altered. And his raiment, now raiment is garments, that's clothing. His raiment was white and glistering. Glistering, that means it was literally glowing. You see, this glory is coming out of the body of Jesus through the clothing that he is wearing. And the Bible says that his raiment was white and glistering. His face began to shine as the sun, and his raiment, his clothing, became shining as white as the light, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. There's not a soap that Procter & Gamble puts out that can make his clothes as white and shining as they were. And there appeared unto him Elijah and Moses, and they were talking about Jesus and his upcoming crucifixion. But let's go down to the garden, Joseph's tomb, on the morning of the resurrection. Very early in the morning, Luke 24. The women of Galilee who had ministered to Jesus came to the tomb of Jesus, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. The angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat down upon it, sitting up on top of it there. His countenance, that's the way he looked, was like lightning. And his raiment, now he's just come from heaven. What's he wearing? His raiment, white as snow. The women entered into the sepulcher and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4 says, and it came to pass, behold, two men, not angels, the angels outside, the angel of the Lord sitting on the stone that was rolled away. He's got bright, white, shining garments. Now then we have two men that stood by these women in shining garments who said, he is not here, but is risen. These women from Galilee went into the tomb. When they got inside, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. The Bible says that he was clothed in a long white garment. And he told them, he is risen. Behold the place where they laid him. 40 days later, let's go to the Mount of Olives. Acts chapter 1. The apostles were with Jesus on the Mount of Olives when he ascended up into heaven, and they stood there watching him as he went up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And two men, how were they dressed? Two men stood by them in white apparel. They said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. White apparel. I love the book of Revelation. We're going over there for a moment. Revelation chapter 1. We've got the Apostle John, been banished to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the Word of God. Here he is. It's Sunday morning. And I don't know what John was doing or fixing to do, but he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. He turned around to see what it was. And when he turned around, guess what? He saw Jesus. And Jesus was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That's what Jesus was wearing when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. Then reading on into the third chapter, all of this is about heaven, you know, the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus had John write a letter to the church at Sardis. And he told them that there were a few in Sardis who had not defiled their garments. Here's what the Bible says. And they shall walk with me, Jesus says, in white. Every time that it talks about clothes in here, everything is white. White, white, white. For he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. And then he says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Isn't that wonderful? Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. We got 24 elders that are sitting on their thrones around the throne of God. 24 of them. How are they dressed? They are clothed in white raiment and have crowns of gold on their heads. Turn over a couple of chapters. Revelation chapter 6. The fifth seal was opened. John saw the soul. Mark that sixth chapter of Revelation, because that's the only time that I can find in the whole Bible where anybody ever saw a soul. But John saw more than one. The souls of them that were slain for the word of God. That means they were martyrs. They died for the testimony they had of Christ. And every one of them, we're told here, was given a white robe and told to rest for a little season. I don't know what they had on before that, but they were given a white robe and told to rest. In the next chapter, Revelation 7, John's still in heaven. And there's a great multitude, he says, that which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they were standing before God's throne and before the Lamb, that's Jesus, clothed in white robes. That's what they're wearing in heaven. And palms in their hands. When John asked, who are these? One of the elders told him, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Let that sink in. They had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And instead of coming out red, they came out white, didn't they? Okay. Notice something else about them, then we'll move on. They are before the throne of God. Here's what people do up there. They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Remember that there's no need of the sun up there. It's daytime all the time. There's no night there, the Bible says. But they serve Him in His temple, and God dwells among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Woo, man, that's what heaven's going to be like. Does that make you want to go there? Contrast that with the other place, if you will. Going on, Revelation 15, verse 6. Seven angels walk out of the temple in heaven. Each one of them has a vial. And in these seven vials are the seven last plagues. And I just wonder if Ebola is one of them. We're getting started into something big on this earth today. Keep your eyes open. There are seven plagues. But anyway, he tells us how these seven angels are dressed. He said they are clothed in pure and white linen, and their breasts are girded with golden girdles. Revelation 19. When the announcement is made of the marriage of Jesus, the bridegroom, and the church, his bride. Okay? We're a wedding scene now. His wife hath made herself ready. And she, the bride of Christ, was arrayed, that means that she was dressed, clothed, in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Here's something else that's interesting in verse 14 of Revelation 19. God has an army. You know the uniforms that His soldiers in His army are wearing? Look at it. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Boy, what an army. Even the soldiers in fine linen, white and clean. Back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, Daniel had a dream one night, a vision in which he saw the Ancient of Days. And he describes what the Ancient of Days was wearing. His garment was white as snow. Isaiah the prophet writes in chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now you got it. Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know that we do not stand before you in the filthy rags of our righteousness, but we stand clothed in a white, pure, spotless robe of righteousness which you have provided for us. Thank you, Father, for washing us from our sins in your own blood. Thank you for saving our immortal souls. And when we think about our loved ones who are going on, we think of them now clothed in that beautiful robe of righteousness. And we look forward to that time when we too shall join them. What a day that will be. There may be one in this congregation today, Lord. I don't know the hearts of all the people. There may be one here that isn't saved, that's never been to Calvary, that's never had their sins washed away and cleansed by the blood. I pray that today, if there's one here like that, that as an invitation is extended, they will say, I want to be saved. I want to know of a surety that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to be clothed in that white robe of Jesus' imputed righteousness. And we can do it right now by faith in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's our number, brother?
478.
Come on while we sing this morning. If you need the Lord today, come. Come. Will you come? When the prodigal son came home, his daddy had some clean clothes, took away the smell of the pig pen. Will you come today? Thank you for coming this morning. It's been good to have you here. I look out across this congregation and I thank God for each one of you. I just wonder too, you know, so many of our folks are going to be with the Lord. I just wonder if on Sunday morning they get together. You know, there's as many of them up there as there are here. We're the members of the Bible Baptist Church there in Chula Vista. And they have a meeting up there. Yep. That's where Brother George Poole is. He's probably preaching. or his father-in-law, Brother Tuck, that started the church here many years ago. One of these days, you and I can join them. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. Brother Sam Burton, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer?